I spent 2 years on the prayer line at Bethel, so frustrated because I could not receive the Lord. I could not hear, I could not sense. And everyone else is falling down. But the whole idea of every time I would come to church, I would get back on that stupid prayer line because maybe today he would talk to me. Maybe today something would change. I was building history with God. And a lot of people run around the world to get people to pray for them and to anoint them. We can anoint you with every, we can prophesy over you. We can hopefully bring healing and miracles, but I cannot impart to you my history, who you are in Christ. And for every listener has a history with God. And you might be saying, oh, but my history, you know what, sweetie? Every time you get back up and you get on that line, you are building a history.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in for this week's extremely special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And my very special guest joining me for today's conversation is a woman of, she is known for her discernment and her love and her wisdom, her years of experience and her compassion. She's an international best-selling author, loved and best-selling author. She's the co-founder of Sozo Ministries, which is inner healing and deliverance. For those of you that are not familiar with the ministry, it's a very well-known and hugely valued resource to the body of Christ, where thousands upon thousands of people have been set free in their journey and gone deeper into experiencing the wholeness that we can all have in Jesus. So you are going to be really empowered today in your journey. So I encourage you, if you can, if you're not driving, just let this next 30 minutes be you time, because it's going to be a very empowering experience for you as you listen to the conversation with me, with my special guest, Dawna Da Silva. Dawna, welcome.
Hello, all.
So good to have you with us, and it's such an honor. I mean, I have such a high value and appreciation for Sozo Ministries. So many people that I know and love have been really seriously set free through the ministry. So I wanted to start talking to you because there are two areas that I have listened to you teaching on that I thought, oh my gosh, we have so many around the world that write in and these are the struggles. And so you have done a profound teachings in the area of being set free from fear and also understanding the actual authority that we carry in Christ and how to keep relationally and positionally connected so that we can move in power and authority. So we'll go there through the conversation. But I wanted to ask you to begin with, Dawna, can you help us understand and discern correctly the difference between healthy fear and unhealthy fear? And there's something that you said where you said the enemy's number one tactic against us is fear.
Yes,
so I thought
absolutely
so many are struggling with this. So can we jump off there?
I just, in a funny note on that, the book I wrote right before the whole world shut down with fear, with COVID, was Overcoming Fear.
Was it? Is that when you wrote it?
My friends are like, what's your next book? We need to know what's coming in the atmosphere.
Right.
In the Sozo ministry, we talk about how we open ourselves up to harassments from the enemy. And there's four doors, and one of them is fear. And so we have fear, sexual sin, the occult, and hatred, and which would be unforgiveness. And so a quarter of our open doors is fear. But I find that most of the open door, like fear, would be like this door of the quarter, and then these other doors are like this, because fear is such a foundational way that the enemy distracts us, gets us to look another way. I call it taking the bait. It's like he's fishing and he's going to take the bait. And fear is one of the easiest ways, and offense, one of the easiest ways to do that. I think one of the biggest ways, we talk about this in the Sozo book, is the biggest way that he baits us with fear would be the lies we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell people, if you're wanting to discern, you know, if you're wanting to take care of like, who am I? Is this me? Is this the atmosphere? Which is another teaching I do. You need to get clean inside because the enemy's going to go fishing, and every lie you believe has an opportunity for you to take the bait. And for me, fear is such a huge part of what we believe. And so it's where he's going to go fishing. It is crazy how powerful fear is in our lives. So what is healthy fear? The only healthy fear I can think of is the reverence of the Lord. I know there's an adrenaline rush fear when a bear runs at you, you know, we talk about it, and you have to run. That's a body initiative of adrenaline, fight, flight, get out. I understand that as well. In the spiritual realm, the only healthy fear is the fear of God.
Yeah, that's profound. And also, like, there was something else that you were saying that I thought, yeah, we need to unpack that a bit more, where you said, if wherever there is fear, you're believing a lie. And that's a key that you equip people with, to discern what's going on internally so that they can begin to get free. So, yeah, so it's profound that actually I sat there and thought, ooh, where am I actually not trusting the Lord? Where is the fear in me? You know, I just sat there quietly when I was listening to you. So can you go there a little bit more with us, just to unpack that a bit more?
I kind of steal all the time little one-liners from Bill Johnson because it makes me seem really smart. And
me too.
And one of his comments was years ago that any area of your life under the influence of fear is under the influence of a lie.
Yeah.
And, you know, other than the reverence and the fear of God, but, you know, we're not afraid of God from the place of, oh, we're afraid of God from the place of holiness.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you know, it's a different kind of fear. A reverence in the fear of the Lord is different than fear that you get in all of these other places. So I'm thinking, for me, if I have fear, I'm believing a lie. Now, I talk about this in my book, Overcoming Fear. It's an interesting way of looking at this. It's like, I look at, what's your tell, like a poker player? You're like, what's my tell? Because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not afraid. I just think all night long and I go through all my ideas all night long. No, that's fear, sweetie. That is fear. But I think fear is so important to the Lord that he said, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you power, love, and a sound mind. And when I teach that, I use like the equipment, like flour is your power, sugar is, you know, the love, and oil is the discernment, you know, the ability to discern correctly, have a sound mind. And the problem is, for me, is we have false powers, right? We have false love and we have false discernment, or the, and so if this recipe, which you can't really see this way, but if this recipe is not in order, you will be afraid.
Oh, that's
so it's
brilliant.
like power plus love plus a sound mind equals
Yeah.
no fear. Okay, so in this place, if something's out of order, I'm afraid. So I go backwards in my book and I'm like, okay, so how do I know I'm afraid when I don't carry a spirit of fear? I have power, love, and sound mind. When I start getting louder and I start moving forward with people, I'm afraid. So it's like, how do you find your tells? How do you find, some people get really quiet and start to hide, you're afraid. Some people get obnoxious, they're afraid. And so it's like, to understand fear, you actually have to be self-aware of what is my tell? And so literally I'll be on the phone and it's not going the way I want. And I'll start getting louder and it'll be like, oh, I'm afraid. So I will instantly in my head say to the Lord, what's the lie I believe right now, Lord? What is the lie I'm believing? Oh, I'm believing the lie that it's not going to work out. And it's like, it might not work out the way I want. But so then, Lord, what's the lie about that? You know,
yeah.
If it doesn't work out the way I want, are you still going to get me home on the next plane? You know what, how is this working? And so I think to understand fear, you need to understand how you manifest fear in your life. And a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not afraid. I'm really brave. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm a powerful woman. It's like, I'm not afraid. Oh, but is it a false power? Is it a real power? You know, because real power is a confidence that comes in knowing that daddy's got my back versus, oh, I'm powerful, I'm all this. Well, then when things aren't working out, you can't control it, then you start to freak out. Well, because bullying is a false power. It's not the real power. And I know a lot of us grew up believing that the strongest person in the room was the bully. You know, they got their way. And so we mimic what looks powerful, but it's a false power. And so I'm afraid. Other people have a boundaryless love. And the sugar, I should take that off. You know, and it's like, so then they're just walked on all the time. So they have this helplessness and hopelessness inside that manifests. Well, then that's one of the tells for them. It's like, I'm feeling bullied, I'm feeling helpless. Oh, then you're afraid. So something has to get back in order in true love. You know, when Jesus says, you know, if they slap you, turn the other cheek. And, you know, if they want your coat, you know, give them your other one. If he asks you to go a mile, go two. He's not saying you don't get a boundary. He's saying people are not allowed to change the nature of who you are through their demands. And
Oh, brilliant.
we as Christian, especially women, are like, oh, I just need to love. I just need to love. They will know me by my love. Yeah, well, love has boundaries because I'm not loving you if I'm not helping you to see how you are affecting the world around you. And so there's, you know, there's that idea. If you're feeling helpless, if you're feeling hopeless, it's fear. The root of that is fear. And he did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a formula: power, love, and a sound mind.
That's just so liberating what you've just shared, so that we have the all three ingredients. And then when those components are operating inside of us, we're discerning correctly and we're in balance and we're in health. So brilliant. And just to your language gives us self-awareness. And I think that's, we can be just running at 100 miles an hour, can't we, through life? And you just disconnect on the, to your internal world and what's actually happening. And like you said, it's so easy. So many of us will mask fear with anger or withdrawing or whatever our coping mechanism, our learned behavior is, if we really get still on the inside. And yeah, you can actually you realize, don't you, there is fear driving my heart right now. I'm not in a place of trust and rest, you know, which is, we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So brilliant. Yeah.
So I think, you know, part of the sound mind, I was, when you were talking, it made me think of a situation where I was kind of getting screamed at in front of a bunch of people. And I'm just like, what is going on here? And I literally, while this event is happening, I literally asked the Lord, what is going on? What's going on? Because I realize something's not right. And, you know, so it can be this quick. You know, you don't have to, oh, I have to go hide and be self-aware. It's like, no, Lord, what is going on? Because you have the right discernment. And he literally told me, tell this person you're for them. And I'm like, and I kind of interrupted when they took a breath. You know, I'm for you, right? And it was so interesting because it's like it started to diffuse what was going on in the person, which was fear. So I was being bullied because of fear. And I'm like, I don't know what is going on. But the discernment was going to the Lord and saying, in this moment, what is going on? You know, so when fear's coming at you, you can ask the Lord too, it's not, I'm not manifesting fear, although I'm about to, if this person keeps screaming at me.
Yeah.
But what's the way to discern this so that I'm not partnering with the fear that's coming at me?
Yeah, so brilliant, because he knows the heart, right? And so you were able to move in up in a way where they momentarily started to feel safe, and it just began to diffuse the anger,
Right.
so, and diffuse the fear. So brilliant, so brilliant. So when you start to take somebody through Sozo session, and you can see they are absolutely in a fear storm internally, how do you begin to help people to reconnect to the reality of what's going on inside? Are there wisdom keys that you use that are like a divine formula that you've found that have worked over the years that people can apply themselves?
That's a really good question. In Sozo, we're always going to go to the doors So one of the doors is fear. So we're like, okay, Lord, is there anything I'm afraid of? And is there any fear in my life is a good question. And some people are like, oh no, there's no fear at all. And you're like, okay, is there a reality check I need? Because it is rare for you, for people to never have fear. It's like,
Right.
come on, there's got to be something in there.
Yeah.
And fear, fear of rejection, performance. If you know someone that has a spirit of control, they're the most afraid person in the room. That's why they've partnered with control. That's one of their tells. So, in the Sozo world, we're just going to process, Lord, where did I learn these things? I think for me, one of the fun places that we see in scripture, brain science is like proving scripture. I love this. It's like, okay.
Me
And
too. It's amazing.
I know we used to think that the brain looked like a walnut, right? We used to think, oh, it's a walnut. But now when you see, all of the nervous system that goes attached to it, you have what looks like this huge, luscious tree. You have a tree trunk, which is your brain stem, and then you have all the roots, right, from the nervous system. And so when you look at it, it's, oh, there's a tree. What does Jesus say? He says, make the tree good.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing, I'm not self-absorbed. I mean, I'm not like always looking at me, because the more I look at Jesus, the more I know what's wrong with me. But in those moments when bad fruit pops on my tree, like for me, if I start getting louder, that's bad fruit. I know that that is coming from a bad tree. What is the tree? It's your belief system. It's all of the stuff going on, and I need to make the tree good. And so I would say what I tell people is, if you find bad fruit anywhere in your life, pause and ask him, what's the tree? Because you will not get bad fruit from a good tree.
Yeah, that's so important, and it's so easy, isn't it? So you just see the behaviors that are showing up, the fruit that is not consistent with who we actually are now as a new creation in Christ, and then you work backwards to the lie. And it's so, I love the fact that you do it relationally. You know what I mean? You're walking with people and you are so safe and non-judgmental and just there to help guide them to the truth that is going to set them free through their own self-awareness. You're just holding their hand to get them there with the experience and the strength that you can lend to them. So and we can all do it. We can all do it, can't we? It's just identifying, like you said, the lie that's there so that we can walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased for all of us. And so do you then just take people, once it's identified, do you take people through your process of repentance and forgiveness, just shifting back into agreement with truth?
Absolutely. So they will
Do
repent.
you? Yeah.
They will forgive. Like, where did I learn this? Who taught me? A lot of times it's generational. Who
Yeah.
taught me fear? Sometimes it's in the womb. I mean, we don't get weird on this, but sometimes, we are getting our nutrients from our mom, and if our mom is afraid, then it's coming straight through the umbilical cord and into us. And
Yes.
sometimes we need to forgive what was going on in mom's life, and how mom wasn't able to shake the fear. So and not to scare your people with fear, but there is a demonic source as well that is out to bring fear. And so, that's what I love about Sozo. It's saved, healed, and delivered. That there's a part of this too that is actually a spiritual issue, which is why God says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of the sound mind. So, but everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's scary and there's a spirit of fear. Well, you know what? A demon only has an access to you by the lies you believe and the sin you're doing. So if you're sinning, pull your hand back and let go. Just knock it off. People's like, come on, because it's an open door. Okay, so if we're not in sin, if we're not purposely sinning and we still have these attacks coming, then let's look at any lies you're believing that is giving an open door to the enemy to harass you. In my life, one of the things I had was night visitations from the demonic. I don't seldom ever talk about this. I don't know why I'm going here. We might have to cut this out. We'll see. But
I'm sure it'll help a lot of people.
for me, the open door was I watched scary movies. When I was a kid, it was like, just try to scare me. And I also didn't understand until years and years later that there was a fantasy spirit operating in my life in my night dreams. And I didn't know that because I just thought I had a great imagination. And so those two open doors, fear from scary movies to and the idea of fantasy, where I love just going to sleep and dreaming about all these crazy things. I always could. It wasn't until I was probably in my late 30s when my friend said, "You know, Donna, that's a spirit of fantasy." I'm like, and when she said it, I knew. I was like, "Oh wow, it really is." And so I had two open doors to the demonic that allowed these night visitations. And you know, if you're feeling helpless at night, you're like, "Well, it shouldn't be my fault." Well, you know, it was an open door. There were things in my life that allowed those. You know, we are not just victimized people here. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So if something's happening, we need to find out, is there an open door in here? You might not know it's there, but the Holy Spirit is good to reveal it. And so in a sozo, it would come up with, you know, Lord, what's going on? And well, there's fear, or oh, you know, I have an open door this way, or I have sexual sin could make an open door. I didn't have that, but sexual sin could be an area where those night visitations have an open door to us. And so anywhere in our life where we're being harassed demonically, I would ask the Lord, is there anything in me that is a lie I'm believing, so that I understand how to close those doors so that the enemy doesn't have the right to harass me in any way.
Yeah, so brilliant. And thank you for being so vulnerable, because I just think our stories empower other people. You know, we give each other permission, don't we, by our appropriate vulnerability to be real, to actually, so other people can receive hope and get set free as well. Because as I'm sure there are many people watching and listening right now who've had tormenting demonic experiences at night, tormenting dreams. And you can tell, can't you, if dreams are not fruitful, they're not edifying and empowering and full of light, then they can be extremely oppressive. Okay, next question. I love your teaching on positional and relational authority, super powerful, and how you help people foundationally shift back where the enemy's tried to get us under its feet. Actually, the reality is the enemy's under our feet, but internally we have to shift back into that awareness. Can you just talk to us about that? Just the difference between the relational authority and the positional authority that we have now in Christ? Because I just think it's when people really get this revelation, it's a game changer for just internally regulating and shifting back into a place of power and then freedom.
For me, you know, we all hear teaching on, you know, you have all authority, get Jesus gives you all authority. And it's like, that's awesome and wonderful and true. How do you wield that authority? How do I actually walk in the authority he's giving me? And I think for me, it's like understanding the atmospheres, which, you know, understanding that there is a demonic, that there is something, is to understand that, you know, a lot of us fight from the earthly realm. And that would be us, you know, fighting people, you know, getting mad at your husband. You know, it's like you're fighting this way. But, you know, Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and but we wrestle against powers, principalities, authorities, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms, right? So the cosmic forces there. So there's a realm that is actually more of what's battling against you, but there's a greater realm above that where we are seated above those things, because Ephesians 1, 18 through 22 tells us that when Christ was raised from the dead, he was reseated in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2, 6, I think it is, tells us that we are seated when we receive Christ. So actually, we are meant to be above the very things that we are supposedly wrestling against. And so I find that if we come out from under, I'm worn out, I can't do it, that's us wrestling down here. But if we come up here and we start going, Now I'm going to take it down. We start wrestling agendas. We start wrestling issues. We're in the boxing ring. I talk about it that way. And but that's still not your place of authority. Our place of authority is seated with Christ, where the enemy is under our feet. And it's the God of peace that crushes Satan under your feet. And people think, oh, if I'm fighting, I know I'm in the heavenly realms. If I'm at peace, I'm like, well, that could actually be that you're just avoiding. Right? It's like there's a difference between peace and avoidance. Now you can be powerfully and aggressive in peace. Right? So it's, but knowing it's like, no, I'm at peace. And I love Psalm 2, all of the nations gather together against the Lord, and he sits in the heavens and he laughs. I mean, that's his like, you think what? And I think up in that place in the heavenly realms, we can see it from that place. We can still be la wow, no, but we're at peace because we know who's in charge. Relational authority is different. Relational authority, I feel, is actually the ability to lean on his chest, hear what he's saying, declare what he's saying from that place of relational, and actually have a conversation with God. And we find it in scripture in a couple of places where Abram is saying, hey, God, if there were, 50 people in Sodom, would you destroy it? And he's like,
Right.
yeah, righteous people. Okay. If there were 30, I think he's testing this relational authority. God, how much pull on your heart do I have? And we see it with Mary,
Yeah.
with Jesus. And she says, hey, they've got, no wine. And he says, what's that to me? It's not my time. And before his time, he turns water into wine because his mom, who has this place of relational authority with them, says, hey, do what he says. And I feel like a lot of people do not understand the relational care they have with the Lord. And then some people are like, yeah, well, I keep messing up. And I tell the story for me, we don't have a lot of time here, but I spent 2 years on the prayer line at Bethel, so frustrated because I could not receive the Lord. I could not hear, I could not sense. And everyone else is falling down. But the whole idea of every time I would come to church, I would get back on that stupid prayer line because maybe today he would talk to me. Maybe today something would change. I was building history with God. And a lot of people run around the world to get people to pray for them and to anoint them. We can anoint you with every, we can prophesy over you. We can hopefully bring healing and miracles, but I cannot impart to you my history. Who you are in Christ. And for every listener has a history with God. And you might be saying, oh, but my history, you know what, sweetie? Every time you get back up and you get on that line, you are building a history. God doesn't have to ask Donna, will you get on the line? In your discouragement, in your frustration, will you whine about it? Oh, I will. Will you complain about it? Probably, but I will get on that line. And he doesn't have to ask me because I've proven that. And that, I believe, has given me an authority in an area of helping people get back on the line.
Yeah, that's just profound. There's about 25 questions I want to ask you from that. Yeah, I mean, it's so moving, isn't it, that we have the privilege of moving the heart of Jesus to respond because of our relationship with him. And isn't it amazing, like your perseverance, you're just that hunger grew and grew in you, where you just kept getting back on the line and getting back on the line to hear him. And now you travel the world helping people hear him. It's amazing what he does with our lives, isn't it? And teaching people how to come out from under the oppression of the tactics of the enemy, of fear, to living from above, truly moving in relational positional authority, really awake, so that they can shift internal atmospheres and external atmospheres and just be free to enjoy life in God and see victory applied in their life and in all their circumstances. It's just amazing. Thank you so much for all you pour out for the body of Christ. Honestly, Dawna, we're so thankful for you and for all for Bethel and Sozo and the Transformation Center and everything you do there. Thousands of people set free and families, and just the fruit is incredible. So from your laid down life out of love for Jesus. So thank you so much. And thank you for what you shared today. It's really rich. So good to have you with us. And guys, thank you for tuning in and being with us today, giving us your precious time as well. And I pray that as you listen to this conversation and get these truths deep in your spirit, I know you are going to experience freedom in the areas that you need. And fear-free living, can you imagine what that's going to look like? Full victory over fear. Amen. Have the most amazing week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. I'm so excited to announce our first 365 days a year devotional, where every day you will be able to experience God as you begin your day. You'll be able to switch it on and experience God, his presence enfolding you as you begin your day, and the truth just pouring into you and his presence just pouring into you. So it's called Experiencing God's Love Every Day. If you jump onto lizwright.org and just click on it, and you will be able to download it straight away, and you'll be able to begin to experience him. Just, I encourage you, it's what I do as I open my eyes in the morning. I say, good morning, Jesus. And then begin to experience him. And I've just been able to create an asset now where you can do the same. Experiencing his love every day, it changes your life as you begin each day like this. So yeah, jump onto lizwright.org and you'll be able to find it there. God bless.